Our scripture text for this morning comes from the book of Psalms, the hymn and prayer book of ancient Israel. Like our own hymnal, the book of Psalms contains a variety of songs from a multiplicity of authors, reflecting a host of different situations and moods, from gratitude to grumbling, from praise to pleading, and all sorts of emotions and moods in between. And modern scholarship understands that the songs were written at distinct points in Israel's history and not compiled into one volume as we have them now until after the return of the people of Israel from exile. The psalm you're about to hear begins with praise for the memory of God having brought Israel back from captivity and moves into a plea for God to again act to help the people, and ends with a confident assertion that God will make it so. Listen now for God's word to us. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy, and it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. I don't know about in your family, but in my family, we have a Thanksgiving Day tradition of each person at the gathering sharing something for which they are grateful. We've done this in various ways over the years. One year, when our gathering had more of the extended family in attendance, about 30 of us, we had a thankful tree, and different family members wrote on construction paper leaves what they wanted to thank God for. Another year, we wrote our gratitude on paper feathers, and we fashioned a turkey tail. Other years, we just share what we're thankful for verbally. I would be thankful if my voice would come back. I did not have a problem until like 2 minutes ago. As I said, other years, we just give thanks verbally. This year, based on our psalm for today and its image of those who go out with seeds to sow, coming in, carrying their sheaves, I'm thinking about printing out sheaves of grain and asking everyone at our table to write what they are thankful for on those sheaves of grain. It looks a little bit like this. You can access this on the internet, by the way, if you'd like to print some out for your own family to fill out. Looking back and intentionally giving voice to our gratitude for what God has done in the past year is a helpful practice. And I commend it to you for this year's Thanksgiving if you don't already do so. You don't have to put it on leaves or feathers or sheaves. Just do it. A word from the pastor, just do it. The writer of today's short psalm begins with a fond memory of what God has done in the past. Notice the words are in the past tense. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Israel, we were like those who dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy, and all the people around us said, "God has done great things for them." And then, as if to cement the point, the psalmist reiterates, "Oh yes, God has done great things for us, and we rejoiced." I love the poetry of that. When God helped us, we were like those who dream. We were like people who couldn't quite believe what was happening to us was real, like those who pinch themselves and say, "Can this really be true?" but in a good way, a way that can't help but make you laugh and with glee and shout with joy. A little bit like some of you probably felt when the Caps won the Stanley Cup earlier this year, or when I got this cough drop just now. And water's coming. It's like water in a dry and thirsty place. Suppose it's a little bit, hey, there we go. Might be a little bit like some of you felt when the Caps won the Stanley Cup earlier this year. Makes you want to laugh with glee and shout with joy. A little like I felt when the Cubs won the World Series a few years ago. It's good to have those can-you-believe-it memories to look back on. And to have those memories be about something more meaningful than the success of a sports team is important too, as awesome as such successes are. For the Israelites who first voiced today's psalm, the event was their return from exile in Babylon in 538 BCE. I wonder what sorts of big things you and I might recall. The restoration of a relationship that had been broken. The ongoing recovery of a loved one from addiction. The unbelievable privilege of being able to hear someone like Brian Stevenson speak. The joy of holding your long-awaited child or grandchild for the first time, the graduation, the retirement party, the engagement, the wedding, the moment you heard the news about your health and it was nowhere near as bad as you feared, or even better, that your disease had gone into remission. Now, if you can't come up with something wonderful that seemed like a dream this year, try listing little things that might not be so small after all when you count them all up. The loyal friend who was there to laugh with you and cry with you through it all. The joy a pet or pets brought you. The way people from Emmanuel or elsewhere were there for you in times of heartache and loss. The way a cup of coffee tastes and feels on a cold fall morning. The experience of your favorite flavor of ice cream, the giggle of a child, the warm embrace of a dear one. I've come to believe that all of these things, every single last one of them, is a gift from God. When we notice them and we gather them into our consciousness, they become part of life's harvest of gratitude. Think on these things and give thanks this Thanksgiving. Write them down, share them. Share them with one another around the table. They are like sheaves that we bring in. Even as I say that, I'm cognizant of the fact that this psalm was first written in a particular context, speaking to a specific agricultural problem in the life of the people of Judah in the years after they returned from exile. The author of the psalm gets right down to the nub of it in the second half of the psalm. After celebrating God's goodness in the past, the psalmist asks for God's help. Restore our fortunes, Lord, evoking the wadis in the Negev desert, the dry riverbeds which rush with waters after the rains finally come. The psalm turns to the issue. It's the climate that year. There hasn't been enough rain. The drought means that the crops don't look like they're going to come in this year, and maybe not the next year either. So much for sheaves. So the psalmist prays, may those who sow in tears, who go out with seed to plant, weeping, reap with shouts of joy. That's a prayer for hard times. And we all know what it's like to go through hard times. Each and every single one of us know what that's like. And we all know people who have gone through harder times than we have. I have a friend who's fond of saying, "This too shall pass." It might pass like a kidney stone, but it's going to pass. Whatever it is, it's going to pass. It's going to pass eventually. And something else will come in its place, because life is not static. People we love and think we can never, ever live without die or move away or leave us in other ways. Illness and death come. The plan doesn't work out. The crisis of the moment gets worse or it gets better, and then it fades into the rearview mirror. The opportunity passes by us, whether we seize it or not. The good times and the hard times both pass. The question for those times, for our time, for any time really, is, as another friend of mine put it quite directly this week, so what? Now what? So what? Now what? Mixed in with the expressions of gratitude at any Thanksgiving table are other emotions too. Sorrow and tears over who's not there. Perhaps a little anxiety and fear about what's to come in the future, or anger and resentment about what is or what was. It is what it is. If that's what it is, now what? The answer the psalm gives, I think, in the midst of a season of drought, is to pray and to plant seeds. Prayer is this: may those who sow with tears reap with shouts of joy. Pray that, but keep planting seeds, because without seeds, whether you plant or scatter them or someone else does, or the plants just go to seeds themselves, there will be no sheaves. Sheaves only come from seeds. Without seeds, there will be no sheaves. Farmers are intentional about planting seeds, because they know that there is a relationship between the amount and type of seed they sow and the harvest they reap. Sow lots of corn seed, and you're way more likely to get lots of corn. You're not going to get wheat if you plant corn. Sow lots of wheat seed, and you're far more likely to get lots of wheat. You're not going to get corn if you plant wheat. And as I think about it, that's a different take on so what, now what. What are you going to sow? What am I going to sow in this world, in this time? What now? So this Thanksgiving, as you share your gratitude around the table, let me take a moment to encourage you to invite people who do not have a table to be around with others this year and share your Thanksgiving with them. But I also want for all of us to think about what sorts of seeds, what sorts of actions, what sorts of acts of generosity and faithfulness and hospitality and sheer dogged determination led to the sheaves that you will bring to celebrate to your Thanksgiving table, whether you planted those seeds or not. I think of Bryan Stevenson's story about his grandmother. Remember that story? His grandmother would always grab him up and hug and hold him for far too long. He felt like he couldn't breathe. And then she'd finally let him go. And then she'd say, "Do you still feel that hug? Do you still feel that hug?" And I think about what Bryan Stevenson has done with his life, and I think that was a seed planted. Do you still feel that hug? And I think about how that rippled out into all sorts of seed that Brian has planted. And think about the seeds that you or I might plant and scatter this year that could lead to sheaves of gratitude in the future for yourself or for others. Think about more than just your own kin. On the way into church this morning, I heard somebody talking about how we care so much about our own children. But what about other people's children? Think about how the seeds we plant can affect so many more people than just ourselves. Think about the kind of seed that we want to plant. How might you and I practice goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and humility and self-control and patience and generosity, and you name the wonderful thing? And that's not just the fruit of the Spirit, because, you know, fruit has seeds. Today I think about seeds being planted. Think about Tommy and Rose and the love they feel from this congregation. That came from seeds planted, and we planted more seeds today, baptismal seeds, reminding them and all of us that they are claimed and called by God to do God's work in the world, to plant good seed. I think about our Transgender Day of Remembrance prayer room and the way things like that bring our attention to the truth that there are people who are persecuted because of their sexual identity. And I think about our prayer shawls that are adorning the balcony. And I'm sorry for you if you're back there and you can't see this, but all these prayer shawls were hand-knit by members and friends of Emmanuelites. If you get a chance after the benediction, come up and see them. Be blessing them in a moment. All of them will be seeds of love shown to someone who is hurting and in need. So think about not just the sheaves that you're bringing to your Thanksgiving table this year, but also the seeds out of which that harvest grew. And while you're writing on your sheaf or speaking out loud about what you're grateful for, commit yourself to planting some seeds in the year ahead. I will too. So what? Now what? Give thanks. Plant seeds. Amen.